All right, let's look into the scriptures related to the lesson. We're going to look first at Acts 9, verse 6. And we went over some of these in the last lesson about when Paul's gospel of Christ began, the gospel that was to the Jews and the Greeks, and when it ended. And the beginning of the Paul's gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks was in Acts 9:6, and according to Romans 1:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:3, especially the third verse of 1 Corinthians 15:3, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So when he received it there on the road to Damascus, it did its work. It did its power to save Paul, the power of God unto salvation, as it says in Romans 1:16. So that happened in Acts 9:6, and he, trembling and astonished, said he couldn't understand how Jesus could be standing there in front of him when he knew that he was a fraud, a fake, and should have been crucified, he thought, you know. As far as he knew, he should have been, and yet he's alive again. Trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And that gospel that he said in 1 Corinthians 15:3 that he received there, he talks about in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's how God saved him, in other words, on that road to Damascus. It's God's power of salvation, unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Jew first. The Greeks came the same way as the Jews. And you read later, I think it's in Romans 10:12, that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. They both come to God through the covenants, and not in the way that Paul is introducing to them in a dispensation of the gospel. The ending of Paul's gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks was when God sent that same saving message beyond the Jews and beyond the Greeks to all people. And you see that in Philippians 4:15, referring to Acts 20, verse 6. And we'll get there in a minute, but look at... well, we don't have to go there. Let me just state... we are going to go there. Going to go to verse 21 in Acts chapter 22. But that whole passage there, Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, says that Christ had informed Paul that in the future he would be sending him to all men. Christ informed Paul of that in that temple vision, in those verses. So let's look at the 21st verse in that temple vision section. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. But you can tell from the wording, when did that future... You can tell that it was a future sending, not yet being sent. I will send thee far hence. And when did that sending actually occur? Not in Acts 22, verse 21, where he's telling him that in the future from there he'll send him. Look in for Philippians 4:15. Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So revealing that the beginning of the gospel was when he departed from Macedonia. Now, he'd been preaching the gospel of Christ before that, so that's not the beginning of the gospel of Christ. When we look in Acts, we get another piece of information in Acts 16, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city in that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. But the point is, Paul, or Luke, the writer of Acts, identifies the city of Philippi to be the chief city in that part of Macedonia. Well, when you get a little further in Acts, we find Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi, which is in Macedonia, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas. You know what happened in Troas? In 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So, at that point, it's not recorded here in Acts 20, at least not this early in Acts 20, but he, according to Philippians 4:15, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's when he departed from Macedonia. You could read it, like if I say I'm going to Chicago, you could, it's the same as saying I'm going to Chicago, Illinois. Well, here, and from thence, this is Acts 16, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which, no, go down to the next chapter 20, verse 6, Acts 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. See, the word Macedonia is not in there, but it's otherwise, elsewhere in the scripture, it's defined Philippi as being a chief city in Macedonia. So when they sailed away from Philippi, they were sailing away from Macedonia, which fits Philippians 4:15. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. Well, that's when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. So we've got a marker there. Paul knew that he was shortly going to be sent to all men. And it happened in Acts 20, verse 6. So that would be, you know, chronologically, there are three events. There's three events in three chapters, chapter 18, chapter 20, and chapter 22. And, you know, we give a lot of verse numbers and details, but let's get these three events as briefly as we can so we see the sequence there. In Acts 18, first of all, in Acts 18, Paul learned about Christ's future Acts 20 sending of him to all men, and he told the Jews about it in Acts 22. That's where we read about the temple vision, and that I will send thee far hence. He's not that's not happening in Acts 22. It happened in Acts 18, verse 22. Acts 18. So what happened when Paul told the Jews in Jerusalem that God had started saving Gentiles, what the Jews thought were unworthy, unholy, uncircumcised, not worthy, they were a curse to Israel. They were to be killed, to be cut off, and not saved. That's not God's way, from what the old way was, anyway. It is God's way under grace to save sinners. This is the dispensation that we are under. So, well, let's review when the actual sending was that Christ told Paul about in Acts 18, verse 22. That's when that temple vision actually occurred that he told the Jews about in Acts 22. Let me finish what I was saying before. The Jews knew about the Greeks who were Gentiles that blessed Israel. They knew about the Greeks in the synagogues, and you know they enjoyed having them bring their tithes. Who wouldn't, you know? But when Paul told them he was going to those ungodly Gentiles, not the ones in the synagogues, they rioted. They said he's not fit to live. There was a difference to those people. They understood the difference between the Greeks and the alien Gentiles. So we need to understand it too. But the actual beginning of the gospel of the grace of God being sent to all men, when Christ, how do I word it? When was the actual beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God? And we just went through those three verses in the beginning of the gospel when I sailed away from Macedonia. And Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And in Acts 20, verse 6, he says, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. So that sailing away from Philippi was when the beginning of the gospel was. That's when Paul received his word from God to go ahead and start teaching that all men are to be... The gospel is sent to all men from that point on. Now, I don't see any record of him going and preaching to the church in Baghdad or anything, you know, that he was actually going out to these foreign places until after the end of Acts. He starts addressing... the Ephesus church that he writes to, he says, I heard of your faith in Ephesians 1:15. So that's a different group, a different church, I should say a different assembling of the saints there in Ephesus that he writes to. Ones that hadn't been in the synagogue when he was in Ephesus teaching. Ones that were some of those far-off Gentiles, that they were the already believers, the ones that were already saved during the Acts period, should endeavor to keep the unity of peace with them, you know, in the bond of peace. Passover. Passover, April 14th. I don't think that's exactly the same crossover when you go from Abib to April. I think there's up to 2 weeks difference. But for clarity, for understanding the sequence of things, I'm going to use April instead of Abib. It's in that season. April 14th was Passover. Days of Unleavened Bread was April 15th through the 21st, the week following, that would be the week following the Passover. He sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, April 22nd, just after the Days of Unleavened Bread. And came unto them in Troas in 5 days. That would be April 27th, where we abode 7 days. That would put them at May 4th in Troas, through May 4th. So the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks in a dispensation of the gospel basically covers a period from Acts 9:6, the salvation of Paul, to ending in Acts 20, verse 6. And the Bible indicates Paul's gospel of the grace of God began and ends. The beginning was the gospel of the grace of God on earth. God was always gracious in heaven. You know, he was gracious in killing the animal and skinning it for the coats for Adam and Eve instead of just ending them at that point for their sin. Let's go on. The beginning of the gospel of the grace of God on earth was when Christ sent Paul beyond his earlier sending in Acts 20, verse 6. It was when he sent him beyond that earlier sending. And the ending of the gospel of the grace of God on earth will be when Christ catches up the body of Christ. Several places talk about that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and verses 6 to 8. Romans 11, 25. We know from Scripture that follows, that was written after that Acts 20, verse 6, that the gospel of the grace of God to bring salvation was being spread, was being taught. But it's not before Acts 20. You don't find it in Acts 19, Acts 17, Acts 13. You find the gospel of Christ, the same saving message, yes, that Christ died for our sins, believe on him to life everlasting. But it's not to all men, it's to the Jews and Greeks still. So, Titus, look in Titus for verification of that. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Not hath appeared to the Jews and the Greeks, or not hath appeared to the Gentiles that will provoke Israel to jealousy. You know, that's what those earlier callings were. They were to specific Gentiles, not to all men. The gospel of the grace of God is during the dispensation of the grace of God. That makes sense, doesn't it? And Paul thoroughly explained it in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Let's go through those verses. They're so important in understanding the dispensation we're in and that it came out of the dispensation of the gospel. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, and he's going to go on and tell which Gentiles, you Gentiles that he's writing to, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Now, I'm not sure. I've heard preachers give little many definitions of why the word is on you word and why it doesn't just say given me to you or to give you. To me, this isn't a dictionary definition, but it's a direction. It's a flow that it goes from Paul to us without stop. I mean, it's in the Bible that we've got today, almost 2,000 years later. So that's what it says to me. How that by, he goes on, how that, this is, I think, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, it's so important to read your Bible, when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So it really was a secret. It really was unrevealed, undisclosed. They didn't know anything. They didn't suspect anything about God saving alien Gentiles. or making salvation available to everybody. Israel thought it was their special privilege, and anybody who wanted to join in with them could do so, but they had to come Israel's way. And that's the way it was before Paul. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So that newly revealed scriptures, including the gospel and including all these things that he's talking about, our position in Christ, talking about in Ephesians, they're given by the Spirit to Paul and to the apostles and the prophets. The body of Christ prophets acknowledge that what Paul writes were the words of God, were the commands of God. Verse 6 in Ephesians 3, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It's not talking about the promises made to the fathers there, is it? That's a singular promise. Promise of life. Titus 1, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. What was the revealed mystery? We just saw that the mystery is not about God's anointed king coming with his kingdom out of heaven to earth. That's this gospel and good news that's in Ephesians 3 verse 8 tells us we believers in Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, we are fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ. That's quite a position. Ephesians 3, 7 through 9. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. What's his power? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So his power in Ephesians 3, 6 is by the gospel. Romans 1, 16, the power of God unto salvation. Well, going on, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And from this epistle, up until the catching up, God's grace is to be preached among the Gentiles. That phrase, among the Gentiles, even includes descendants of Jacob as uncircumcision, while Israel is lo am I, while Israel is not God's people, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the bringing in together of the mystery, okay? Fellowship of the mystery in verse 6, Ephesians 3, verse 6, fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. He goes on, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 12 and 13, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom you, that's who he's writing to, you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We can see the fellowship of the mystery again. You can see it there in those last two verses, Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. As Paul said in Ephesians 3, 3, in few words. It was in few words. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So the fellowship of the mystery that we can see in Ephesians 1 is that the dispensation of the gospel, believers in verse 12 who first trusted are in fellowship with the dispensation of the grace of God, believers in verse 13 who believed when they finally heard the same saving message after Paul was sent to all men. So we can see from those last two verses that the content of the message of the earlier gospel of Christ was the same as the content of the message of the later gospel of the grace of God. Those two gospels were sent to different audiences, during different dispensations, dispensings, but the saving message was the same in both gospels. It was the same saving message. So when you talk about a different gospel, you tend to think of a different set of words, set of conditions, but it's the same. The gospel just changed names because it changed another element of the gospel. Not the content, but the audience, the addressees, okay? And not the timing either. It's for this whole period of time. It's the gospel of the dispensation of the gospel began a few years earlier because God has been doing that through history. You know, he didn't just send the flood and produce an ark for Noah to get in. He gave those people, those mockers, 100 years of seeing Noah build the ark and preach righteousness. And they had a chance, an extra chance, you know, even after he said he was going to destroy the world with a flood. The Lord provided skins for Adam and Eve, for coats, and that was before he threw them out. There was three verses before he threw them out of the garden. So he provided ahead of time for them. Gave them help that they couldn't have produced themselves, you know. So, let me see where I am in my notes here. another reason we can say that the content of the gospel was the same in the gospel of Christ as it was in the gospel of the grace of God, we can see that Paul had his gospel, and he called it my gospel before Acts 20 verse 6. In Romans chapter 2 verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So he calls it my gospel before he was sent to all men. And then Paul called 2 Timothy 2 verse 8 my gospel after Acts 20, verse 6. 2 Timothy 2, 8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Well, since Paul's gospel was before Acts 20, verse 6, and it was after Acts 20, verse 6, it's the same saving message, the same content. Even though the audience is different. So, according to these scriptures, Paul's sending with the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks in that dispensation of the gospel ended when he was sent with the gospel of the grace of God to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God, beginning in Acts 20, verse 6. Paul wrote epistles to those to whom he was being sent at any particular time. And the doctrine in those epistles, for those, it was for those to whom Paul was sent and who he was writing to at that time. May we all recognize the scriptural importance of the gospel of Christ in the dispensation of the gospel during Paul's sending and writings to the Jews and to the Greeks at that time. I'm not a Jew and I'm not a Greek, but side by side with the Jews and the Greeks in the dispensation of the gospel was a dispensation of the grace of God, both side by side within the body of Christ. Okay? The body of Christ started with one and it went to the other. Started with the dispensing of the gospel, and then it went to dispensing the grace of God to all men. Well, that's all. Done with the three parts, and if you've got questions, state them again, please, so I can see them here at the end.